It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
All right, back here on The Drive, it's hour number 3, quitting time on your Overreaction Monday presented by The Phone Exchange. Russell Bayer, Trey Cruz along with you on the show this afternoon. Top 5 at 5 brought to you by FanDuel. Bayer?
Thank you, Russ. Number 1, we have breaking news, Russ.
Oh, wow. Hold just a second. We will go to the Fan Run breaking news desk.
Adam Schefter is reporting that the Pittsburgh Steelers-Baltimore Ravens game has been postponed for a third time to Wednesday.
It's too bad.
Why don't they just make these guys forfeit?
Like, both forfeit the game?
Huh?
Like, both forfeit the game? I mean, you're talking about...
No, Baltimore needs to forfeit.
Why?
Because they were the ones that were messing around here. They weren't following the COVID protocol. And if you reference Fidel Goodell's memo from October the 20th... Hold on, I'll read it to you. Yeah. The NFL's forfeit rule and COVID-19 warnings. On October 5th, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell sent a memo to teams warning that teams could be forced to lose draft choices or forfeit games if COVID-19 protocols weren't followed. And they were definitely not followed in Baltimore. Hmm.
Yeah, it's a strange situation. I've not been keeping up with what exactly the Ravens were doing, but... I mean, it seems like they obviously want to play this game. I don't know. I mean, maybe they'll have to do what the SEC has done, where the end of your season just becomes a train wreck of just moving pieces. They're sliding things around trying to get these games in at the very end.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Number 2, Vic Fangio. One of your favorite coaches, Russell. This discipline is still on the table for the Denver Broncos QB, who disregarded COVID-19 protocols, resulting in them having to start somebody that wasn't even playing football a month ago. Kendall, Kendall Hinton played quarterback in 3 of his seasons at Wake Forest. He finished 1 of 9. Passing yesterday for 13 yards.
And I'm sorry, what's his situation?
They had basically had to take him off the street to...
Oh, the Broncos? That's who they're playing when they don't have a quarterback? That's pretty awesome. I literally wonder, like, what are they – I was talking with my brothers about that when that news was breaking Saturday. Are they just going to pick up some guy off the street? The answer is yes. All right, is that
all
it?
All right.
Nope.
No. I mean, we got number 3.
Okay.
Had a really scary moment yesterday in Formula One in Bahrain. His Haas driver, Roman Grosjean, was involved in a huge fiery crash. He walked away with minor injuries after being trapped in a burning car. After it slid, you see this, Russ? It sliced in half and exploded into a fireball. He was inside the inferno for about 10 to 15 seconds, kept his cool, got his way out, and was actually injured when he grabbed the molten, the metal barrier. It started melting and had some pretty significant burns to his hands.
Oh, God. Yeah, I saw that, and I wondered, with all the flames, like, how would it be possible to get out of there with that? I mean, I know you're wearing a fire suit and a helmet and all that stuff, but you got to think that's just going to be terribly dangerous. And, I'm sure that sounds just agonizing, and I can't imagine the pain he's in, but he's lucky to be alive.
And He was one that did not like the new halo system on the cars. Are you familiar with that, Russ?
No.
It is, they added something. It's protects the driver's head, and it's not a completely open cockpit in F1 anymore. But now he's a firm believer in it because it definitely saved him from getting decapitated yesterday.
Golly. Lucky dude.
Let's see here. What am I on? Number four here. My computer's crashed, Russ. I'll go ahead and tell you on air. So, number four, let's go with the San Francisco 49ers. They are in kind of a jam. They are to play week 13 and 14 home games in Arizona as Santa Clara County has announced on Saturday new COVID-19 related restrictions that apparently prevent contact sports in the county for at least the next 3 weeks. They will hold their next two home games at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. This is, of course, apparently, it's where the Cardinals play, who have no day of game scheduling conflicts with the Niners moving forward.
More problems.
It's been a wacky year with COVID, hasn't it?
More problems than the National Football League. That is your top five at five. Thank you, Bears. Brought to you by FanDuel, that $1,000 free bet. Still going on, risk-free bet, that is. You place your first bet on FanDuel risk-free this week. You know, on to FanDuel, download their free sportsbook app. It's very easy to use. You can risk up to $1,000 for free and you get it all back, even if you don't win. No strings attached. Just place any bet you want. You win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you get the entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit. So you can keep right on playing with FanDuel. FanDuel, generous risk-free bets. It's amazing. Get the simple app today. Live in-game betting, parlays, they've got it all, FanDuel. Just be sure to use promo code DRIVE1 so they know we sent you. That's promo code DRIVE1 for the risk-free up to $1,000 bet. FanDuel must be 21 or older, present in Tennessee. Site credit non-withdrawable expires 7 days after receipts. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Russell Bear Trey back with you on the drive. Tennessee, a 16.5 point underdog. If you want to play some action on that, you could do it. Jeremy Pruitt today would not commit to a starting quarterback. He says one of his quarterbacks has been caught up in contact tracing. We have been able to confirm. I'm thinking well over double-digit guys, and Jeremy Pruitt, I think, said that, 18 or so guys that have missed time due to either having it or being in contact tracing. And, Trey, I think safe to say double-digit starters that we're talking about here?
Yeah, I feel comfortable saying double-digit. The names I've listed off to you, I would think that's double digit. Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking 9 to 10. So right at that mark.
Now, Trey, I've heard, is there some question about whether or not
they can play?
These guys have been in contact tracing, could get cleared before game time.
Yeah. So this is how it would actually work. And I was talking to somebody about this. So the positive test came back after the Auburn game. So what would happen, technically Tennessee could go back and start contact tracing 48 hours at the mark of when the players came in close contact with the two individuals that tested positive. Now really what has happened here and what I think happened here is that these players that are contact traced, they were sitting on the plane. I think the same thing happened with A&M, where they were sitting on the airplane around this guy or guys for more than 15 minutes, and they were riding back from Auburn. So when they tested them, you know, and they came back, two of them came back positive, I think that's when contact tracing. Now, I say that to say this. They could go back according to guidelines in Knoxville and whatnot in the health department, they could go back and start their contact tracing 48 hours prior to that positive test, which would be Friday afternoon, Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. So technically they would be, they could be back Friday night, Saturday morning. Now that don't make a damn worth of sense to me, because the SEC came out and said that, look, your contact tracing starts the day of, or right at the day after you, they get the positive test. But it's so different in every county when it comes to these college football teams. So my thought on it, guys, was that these guys that were contact traced wouldn't be able to come back until the Monday following the Florida game. But if they go off potentially what they've done with contact tracing rules in the city of Knoxville, the county, then maybe they could trace back to that Auburn trip up or down. I'm sorry. And the problem is, I think they flew down to Auburn, so you don't know who's positive, and then you fly back to Knoxville. So I don't know. I don't know how they could do it, guys. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how they could try to pull that off, but they're going to try to pull it off. Mm-hmm. Because the players that they're missing, they'll get boat raced by 30 if they don't have these players that are in contact tracing.
Mm. I mean, let's be honest. There's a pretty good chance even with those players are getting boat raced by 30.
No,
but...
Well, no, okay. I mean, yeah, you say that, and I wouldn't disagree with that maybe, but –
Well,
okay.
It's what Pruitt does, bud.
If you don't have the players, then there's a chance you can get beat by 50 if that's what you're going on.
Yeah, which, I mean, I think that's in play. Today's Ricker Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot question: how excited are you for the Florida game? We've got 447 votes cast now at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. So a really good sample size coming in here. And 91% of the audience is saying they are either not excited at all, not very excited. 64.4% say they're not excited at all about this game. It's two-thirds of your fan base. 4.5% say they are excited. Another 4.5% say they are very excited. So,
count me in that group.
You're excited?
Very excited.
You're very excited?
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am. I want to see...
Can you
Especially
be any
Vanderbilt
more disingenuous on this show? How many arguments have you taken up that no sane person believes in right now? And you're gonna sit here and act like you're very excited for the Florida game, Bear?
Yeah, because I'm hoping we get absolutely obliterated, and then he'll lose to Vanderbilt. He'll get killed, crushed by A&M, blow this guy out of here,
Hire the
Friar, dump the Gump, bring on the John, and maybe we'll, go snake Derek Mason. He's looking for a job, make him our DC.
So you're just going full Jamie Utah right now. You're pulling against Tennessee.
I'm not pulling against him. I'm just playing the odds, man. When Pruitt loses, he loses by double digits in SEC games. I mean, that's just facts. He gets his doors blowed off. So, I mean, I'm not rooting for it, but I'm going to play in the odds.
Stay with us. The drive continues. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline, 546-8200. If you want to chime in this afternoon, more of your phone calls coming up. Ways Tusculum's education degrees can help you achieve your goals at www.tusculum. Welcome back. The drive continues here on Fan Run Radio. I want to thank our friends up at the Phone Exchange for sponsoring Overreaction Monday. As always, we appreciate them. Great locally owned and operated business here in East Tennessee. And if you've got old phones laying around, they are looking to buy those from you. You could take your old phone up to the phone exchange on the top of Bearden Hill right next to Soccer Taco, and they will pay you straight cash money, homie, for your old phones, your old tablets. You walk out there with a couple extra bucks in your pocket, and take the family out for a nice supper, something like that. It's good stuff. So go check that out. Go check that out, the phone exchange on top of Bearden Hill, and tell them, as always, Fan Run Radio sent you. Our phone number, if you want to jump in here, is 865-546-8200. And you know something, guys? This season, to me, people will say, I think that it is... Don't buy it when people say, oh, it's COVID is throwing a monkey wrench in there. You can't judge. You can't judge what's happened. Now, listen, if you had Trevor Lawrence and he was contact traced out of five games and you lost like three or four games that you wouldn't have otherwise lost, then, yeah, obviously you take that into account. But that hasn't happened much. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is a great example because he did get COVID and missed a huge game for them and they lost. But they're going to be able to make that back up. And to me, this season has just shown like who the good coaches are and who the bums are, who the gym teachers are. The good coaches, Saban, Dabo, Jimbo, Mullen, Matt Campbell, Kirby, Kiffin, Freeze. They've all gone out there and done what they do anyway, which is win. The gym teachers have been exposed. Harbaugh, Muschamp, Ogeron, Jeremy Pruitt. All struggling. All struggling with, and they would have struggled anyway, but it's just highlighted. It's accentuated, right? When you're playing a conference-only schedule and you can't pad your record with wins against Troy and Furman and South Alabama, no offense, Trey. You can't pad those. You don't get those freebies in there, and then the losing in conference games compounds, and your team gets frustrated on you, and they mail it in, and they quit, and your staff gets frustrated, and it blows up in your face. So don't buy into it when you hear these ADs, these coaches say, well, if it weren't for COVID, you know, we had our full spring practice and the summer workouts, and then we had contact tracing, blah, 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 blah. Doesn't affect good coaches. Good coaches go out there and win anyway. They're getting it done. They find a way. They work through it. Their guys rally around them. They do it together. The gym teachers, their guys tune them out. They mail it in. They quit. I don't think that's COVID is terribly unfortunate, and it has made things weird across all levels of society. But successful people are still successful, and flakes are still flakes. Like, I'm sorry, and our coach is a flake. That Matt Campbell guy can coach, though, man. That dude at Iowa State, ooh, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
The guy can coach.
Great performance.
Yeah.
I'm still up above $10 million. His buyout.
It's pretty expensive, I believe. But I'll tell you who might pay it. Michigan. Especially if Harbaugh decides to exit stage left and take over the Detroit Lions. Now that
yeah,
job's
he
over.
Doesn't have a he doesn't have a golden parachute.
No, and he can just he can go coach in the NFL or you know even some college team and give him a job again. Like he'll be okay, even though this is kind of blown up on him this season. Like his track record is still pretty good. Like he'll be able to do some other things.
I just feel like that experiment's over at Michigan. They, you know, in honesty, Michigan fans deserve better, just like Tennessee fans deserve better. Yep. I don't know about the Tom Herman thing at Texas. I'm still kind of fidgety about that one because I read a bunch of stuff and articles, and I talked with a few people, one that covers the team, and they expect their board of regents to fully discuss if they're going to bring him back next year. Like, I guess my question would be to you guys is, and I know you guys don't follow Texas football as much or Michigan football, but if one had to go this year, and the most likely, I'm not talking about just in general who you think should go, the most likely coach to go this year, get fired, between Herman, Harbaugh, and Pruitt, who do you think it would be?
Well, that's a good question.
Probably tough, Herman, man. Although I think out of the three, he's the one that probably shouldn't be. I mean, I know he's not turned it around as quickly as they'd like down there, but, I mean, damn, they did go to a cup. Yeah, but, I mean, what's his overall record? I mean, hell, they beat the hell out of Georgia in that Sugar Bowl. What was that, last year or the year before?
I think it was the year before.
Breaking news. Knox County schools, both in person and virtual, will start 2 hours late tomorrow. Buses will also run 2 hours late. A little snow, a few flakes fall down, nothing sticks, no icy conditions on the roadways. And we panic, a tradition like none other. Those folks up in Michigan look at us like we're a couple of amateurs, right? Like, really? Yeah, school's 2 hours late because of what happened today with the snow?
It'll be canceled by 8.
Go get your bread and milk and water. Go get the eggs and your bread and your milk so you can have a milk sandwich, a delicious milk sandwich.
See, Mark Nagy's snow. Already been in the store. He's got his milk and bread.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's snowing pretty bad up here.
Coming down pretty good. Well, you're up in a higher elevation, Trey. You're in the mountains.
I'm just saying, in general, it's snowing. They got 2.5 inches in Nashville right now.
So, this gal who kicked it, a couple of things. Let's unpack this Vanderbilt Sarah Fuller story. First of all, she was named SEC Special Teams Player of the Week this week. Is that true? That's been confirmed? Wow.
Yes.
So she had the one kick, and it was, I mean, any of us could have made that kick. Now, was that?
Or are we getting back into this again?
Did she mean to? Is that what they?
They did.
That's how
they're
they
claiming that she did now. But apparently, in pregame warm-up, she was from the 3-yard line. She was barely, which I guess is extra point. She could barely clear the crossbar. It's a damn joke.
Well, here's what happened last week, and I've talked to two sources on this last week. Okay, so they approached her to come kick for the team on Monday once they knew their specialists were going to be out. She went out there. They wanted her to come out there on Tuesday, but she said her legs were too tired to come out there. And I'm not hating. She had just played for an SEC championship on Sunday, so I get it. She goes out there Wednesday, and she's 2 for 5 in practice for extra points. They were trying this squib kick. They pulled her out of practice with the teammates and let her go do a photo shoot on the field. During practice, by the way, they pulled her out of practice to go do a photo shoot.
Okay.
They did not hold a tryout. Everybody keeps saying they held a tryout. They did not hold a tryout.
So they're basically just using her to drum up some, to get the coach fired?
No, it was just, I think it was just for PR. And I'm not hating on what happened Saturday. I'm talking about
I'll hate on it. It's a total sham.
I'll hate on it all day long.
I'm talking about how it went down last week. Like, she's not there Tuesday. She comes out Wednesday, 2 for 5 for field goal, extra points, leaves practice to go do a photo shoot. Thursday has a walkthrough, does a couple kickoffs on Thursday, and then they're on a plane Friday to Missouri. And it's, you can't tell me that there are people around there that can kick field goals.
Their punter can. They're starting punter
so
to play kicker
it,
in high school.
And I'm hearing, so like she got up and addressed the team and gave some rah-rah speech at half.
She went off of the team, I was told, during halftime. Like she told her,
sit down, shut up.
Dudes are sitting there. Like, they got linebackers in that locker room, like busted up knuckles, and like they've been playing on a torn hamstring, and the things that SEC players, even at Vanderbilt, do. And all of a sudden, this gal, she gets up there. It's like, when we got a first down, you guys weren't rallying and cheering your teammate. You know, like softball players, like they have a ground out to second base. You know, routine play, and like the entire team gathers around and starts like high-fiving on the infield. Like she wants that to happen in football.
And she hadn't been on that team. She hadn't been to practice.
She said she
It has nothing to do with her gender.
She didn't like the enthusiasm. Well, but it does have.
Get the hell out of here! Then you practice for 2 days. You're not part of this team. That's not and people compared her. Jesse freaking Owens, Jackie Robinson. Jesse Owens went into Berlin in 36 and faced down Hitler and his Gestapo buddies.
I asked Drew. Because my question was, what happened? What happens if she pooches it and somebody catches it and she ends up getting trucked and just like knocked out cold on the field? Drew said that she had a holder, like somebody came out there and held the ball.
She did.
And
yes.
Then as soon as she kicked it.
She never practiced kicking off the tee.
And then as soon as she kicked it, she runs off the field.
Yeah.
She didn't participate in the play?
No, it was a total sham.
That's so.
They kicked it straight to the Missouri sideline.
So
the 35.
See, to me, like if you're a feminist, that to me is like, more offensive than just putting somebody out there that can't play and at least letting them play. Because you name her the SEC Player of the Week. And
good God.
It's just like.
By the way, they did an extra. By the way, in her post game, I have two things. Her post game Zoom, the other players went for about 3 minutes. She went for 25 minutes. And then yesterday, to get more national media attention, they called a separate press conference just for her, not 8 hours after firing the head coach.
That's just stupid. And it's insulting to other women who have really faced down adversity to make their mark. And I'm thinking, you know, the one that immediately comes to mind is Danica Patrick. I mean, you talk about somebody went and banged heads with
all
know,
of a sudden Bear who could not pass up an opportunity to disparage Danica Patrick at every.
Well, I mean, she never met a wall she didn't want to crash into 200 miles an hour.
Now all of a sudden she's
God,
a trailblazing
she went out there and did it.
Pioneer.
She practiced. She put in the work, the blood, the sweat, the tears.
It gets better.
You know what this girl do? She hopped off the soccer team. Showed up for like 1.5 practices, pranced out there, squibbed it to the 35, and ran like hell to the sideline. Vanderbilt ought to be ashamed of themselves for doing this. And what really gets me is 20 years ago, it was already done. There's a female kicker in Colorado. Jesus. The whole world's goddamn mad, Russ.
Well, it's
the
just
best part was the athletic director today, guys. Candace Lee, the athletic director at Vanderbilt, said adding Sarah Fuller to football team wasn't a big deal to her. Quote, it wasn't about breaking barriers. It was just about having a kicker.
You could have gone to any frat house and picked up some dude who played soccer in high school that can make, you know, 30-yard field goals.
Dude.
I mean, we did it with Derek Brodus 10 years ago.
To do it.
Yeah. We had a drunken frat boy kicking our extra points and field goals. What was that, 2012? Derek Dooley.
Derek Brodus.
And inebriated Brodus is better than nothing.
I just didn't get it. I really didn't. And I thought it was the cheap stories stunt. That I've now heard about it.
It's a cheap stunt.
It was all a PR stunt. And then they fired Mason Saturday night. And then they bring her out for a press conference on Sunday.
Folks, the Drive and all fan-run programming originate from your White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. White Claw, crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and just a hint of fruit flavor. It's only 100 calories. So you won't end up looking like a Tennessee assistant coach if you indulge in a couple of White Claws. Now available in 8 refreshing flavors, including fresh watermelon, sweet tangerine, and juicy lemon. Each one a wave of pure refreshment. White Claw, hard seltzer made pure. Please drink responsibly. White Claw, hard seltzer. We take a quick time out. More of your phone calls coming up. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Cannot confirm reports that ESPN will be giving Sarah Fuller the ESPY, the Arthur Ashe Courage Award.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Seriously? I'm just saying, a young lady already did this 20 years ago.
She's no Caitlyn Jenner.
She went through a hell of a lot more than this, you know, than this person did.
She's no Caitlyn Jenner. I mean, that took real courage. To lock your wiener off and say you're a chick, that's courage right there. She's a hero.
Did they ever confirm that she had it lopped?
It's just tucked.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a strange day. It's a strange day and age we live in right now. I saw some blue check mark on Twitter yesterday, I think it was Stuart Mandel, maybe, said, "I watch football in my office all day long, and when I saw Sarah Fuller come out to kick for Vanderbilt, I breathlessly ran down the stairs to show my 10-year-old daughter, who watched in amazement." I swear to God, man, it was the most ridiculous Twitter thread I'd ever seen.
Get the hell out of here.
This guy was acting like she was walking across the bridge in Selma or something.
Yeah. She was like she was in Berlin in 36 or she was rolling out there like Jackie Robinson, you know, or going to practice every day like that girl I keep talking about, Katie Knotter, the kicker from Colorado, who got sexually assaulted.
Oh!
Transferred to another university. It kicked extra points, actually scored points. It's already been done. I feel like I'm standing in a room screaming and nobody's paying attention.
I love it.
The funniest part about all of this is some of the tweets that I saw from the folks you're talking about. I can't wait to tell my kid about this 10 years from now. And I was like, if you're waiting to talk about Vanderbilt football in 10 years, we got a problem.
They're made for TV moment they had. Load of crap.
ESPN reporter Courtney Cronin jumped on a Zoom call to chat with Fuller about her time on the Vandy football team, and that's when we learned that Fuller was given the floor to address her fellow players at halftime of the game. Quote, "If I'm going to be honest, I was a little pissed off at how quiet everyone was on the sideline. We made a first down, and I was the only one cheering, and I was like, what the heck? What's going on? And I tried to get them pumped up, and I was like, you guys need to start cheering your team on." Wow.
Oh, my God. Really?
It's like,
really?
It's like, listen, toots, we're getting our teeth kicked in by Eli Drinkwitz right now. Yeah, we're not exactly fired up. Maybe that was the problem. Maybe if they had just cheered first downs a little bit more, they wouldn't have got beat 40 to nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, we're living in the idiocracy.
Oh,
I mean, that's what it is. Just completely made up rap.
If she had her cell phone on the sideline, like some people are saying, that's even worse.
Wow. Let's get Westchester in here next. Good afternoon, Westchester. You're on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Listeners, if you want to keep T-Carp's body in Westchester's phone calls, drink White Claw. It'll get you there. before I get into my call, thank you, Russ, for posting the video on Twitter about the refereeing job done to South Boyle on that ridiculous face mask. I don't think it was a game changer.
It's travesty.
Oak Ridge was definitely the better team on the field on Friday, but still that was a terrible call. But I want to thank you for bringing that to light.
Playing for West High's championship. Just remember that when you watch the Wildcats this week. You know that, David Cleary. You know that's true.
Let me ask a very controversial question, and if I have to take a week suspension from all things Fan Run, I'll do it. But let's test the elf in the room here. Does Sandy pull all this? They know they're not about to fire a black coach.
Wow. I didn't even thought about it from that angle.
Because I sure had the press conference real quick on Sunday.
You're saying they put her on the team knowing that they might take – and you know, that's a private school in a very liberal city in our state. And you're implying that they might have felt that they're going to fire their coach anyway. This might give them some woke points when they fire the SEC's only African American head coach.
During COVID.
Huh.
During COVID. Only the second coach all season to get fired.
I mean, I don't think it's ridiculous. I mean, it is ridiculous, but I don't dismiss the theory out of hand.
You say that, but then, and I'll just go ahead and say it, the athletic director of Vanderbilt, you know, is African-American, so I don't know how much that takes.
Yeah, it's not like, I mean.
Oh, I forgot they brought that position back on paper, Trey. Thank you for reminding me of that.
But he was like, he'd been there seven seasons. He has 7 years, right? And they were winless. It's not like they had a disappointing season. They were 0-8. Okay, they hadn't won a game. They were non-competitive. So,
yeah,
I don't think you would have to fall back on that. But it's 2020, so who knows?
Also, if South Carolina can fire a coach and Vanderbilt can fire Derek Mason, why don't we have an interim head coach for the game with Florida on Saturday? Why are we still playing this game?
Well, I mean, at this point, like, it's not going to make any difference. Florida's going to kick our teeth in regardless of who's the head coach Saturday. But, I mean, I think your point in the larger context, like, schools are firing coaches this year anyway, including schools that, like South Carolina, that had owed extravagant buyouts to their head coaches. So we're already down that road. You're slinging around money for raises and extensions, so you must not be hurting that badly. So, should be on the table.
Last point, would you put Harbaugh on your top five?
Top five what? Like for this
top
job?
Top five coaches. Yeah.
No. I don't know. No, right? We're not considering Jim Harbaugh here, right?
God, we can't go from Butch to Pruitt to Harbaugh. Good Lord.
How can you find – we are on the mission to find the most insufferable jerk to lead our program.
Well, I mean, if you're determined to have somebody with head coaching experience in the tire, which I don't see how you don't do that, I think your choices are going to be very limited. And that's my only concern with this whole next coaching search is you're going to be determined to find some coach with some sort of winning record somewhere. So –
yeah,
you're not taking another guy from somewhere in Louisiana. I can't remember how bad that school was. You're not taking a guy that beat you when he was at Cincinnati. You're not taking somebody that hasn't been a head coach yet.
Well, it's funny because 5 years ago, Tennessee fans, by and large, we would have crawled through a mile of broken glass on fire to sign Jim Harbaugh as our new head coach.
Exactly.
And now you wouldn't, which perhaps is interesting food for thought. It's something to consider when we talk about Hugh Freeze being the next chosen one. But It is interesting how quickly your fortune can change.
That's all I got, guys. Have a good show.
Thank you.
Later this week.
Appreciate the phone call. Roberto is up next on The Drive. Good afternoon, Roberto.
First and foremost, I hope you gentlemen had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you. I did. Thank you. Happy Snowmageddon, baby. It's beautiful out. God, it's beautiful. It's going to be even better on Saturday when it's snowing and Florida's just kicking the hell out of us, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be barrel of laughs.
Are you going to go on your hike? It's going to be a cold hike, Russ.
No, I've got some hand warmers. I've got some really cozy socks, some long johns. I think we're good. I think we're going to be all right.
Well, you know, guys, as far as all this is concerned, I mean, that dunderhead we have as a head football coach, I mean, did you listen to his presser today? What a numbskull. Just a complete numbskull, that guy. He's a complete idiot. And, I mean, he can't conjugate a verb. I mean, it's just, the guy is a complete moron. And his Aji golly shucks country bumpkinness was endearing at first. And now it's just like, no, you actually are an idiot. We thought you were this genius. We thought you were this idiot savant football coach. And it just turns out that you're an idiot. You're a savant of nothing. I mean, every time the man, you know, the funniest thing ever. Did you hear what he said today about Todd Grantham?
No.
He's great at creating negative plays as a coach, which is true. He creates a lot of negative plays for the other team. Jeremy Pruitt is also great at creating negative plays.
That's
it
true.
It just happens to be for his team. I mean, we suck. We are so bad, and they won't own that they ducked Vandy. They straight ducked Vandy because we have COVID on campus in our locker room, and they ducked Vanderbilt and made it sound like they were doing a solid to the SEC, which is a pile of hullabaloo, and we all know it.
What are we doing, Roberto? What are we doing here?
You know what
we're
not doing? You know what we're not doing? We're not here. You freeze. And that is the answer. Look,
why?
If the question, I don't understand. I don't understand. The guy. I'm being sincere, Russ, and you know this as well as I know this from behind the scenes. The man is begging for the job. He is begging for the job. Begging, literally. Has his agent on hands and knees begging to make a decision because he is going to take one of four jobs this year. You can argue five, but I'm not going to say Texas is open yet, okay? He's going to take the University of Tennessee, and we're not open yet, but we should be. He's going to take the University of South Carolina, Vanderbilt, because they were going to offer him if he's available. That will happen. They're going to, I'm not saying, and then I think that Auburn comes open at the end of the year. If Auburn comes open, we just opened the floodgates of being in deep kimchi.
I can't.
You need to get on him before Auburn offers him because Auburn has the cojones and the money to do it.
South Carolina's not going to offer him.
They're going to hire Shane Beamer.
Yeah, I mean, South Carolina won't even offer him. There's no way that guy down there will offer him.
Do you think they're going to take the time of day to make the phone call? Or is
doesn't
he already
sound like
down
it.
To your
doesn't sound, it no, sound like no, they've they got their eyes on Beamer. They won't play Beamer ball.
Do some research about the guy that runs South Carolina now. There's no way
Shane Beamer
he's going to offer.
Derek Dooley. I'm sorry,
he does. Shane Beamer has Derek Dooley written all over him, man. Another college football aristocrat. Great. That's just what this conference needs.
Well, he has Derek Dooley written all over him. He's never been a coordinator at any level, correct? Not including special teams. Am I correct on that? I
believe so.
And his dad is a god in a specific conference that is a football conference, correct? And it is my opinion that he is that. And, you know, I'm just still beside myself. I'm about to wreck my car. Like, how have we not fired this dunderhead Gump we have over on campus and crawled over on fire, broken glass, up to Lynchburg, Virginia, and said, "Hey, Liberty, hey, Falwell, we will pay you to take your coach off your hands, and please, God, let him come here. Please. I don't care who his staff is, the man can coach. The man knows Memphis. I don't know why we are not up there already." And if Philip Fulmer can't see that, I love my battle captain, but he's out. Because he is not the guy if he can't see the writing on the wall. If he's doubling down on the coach he has on campus right now, he is also an idiot. And lastly, gentlemen, when we're getting pounded on Saturday, do you think that Jarrett Garantano will be our quarterback? Because we all know that he is the person, he is the quarterback that was being referred to today that is on COVID protocol. Are we going to break SEC COVID protocol to put that clown at quarterback? Is that what he's getting ready? Jeremy Pruitt's going to thumb his nose at the SEC for Jarrett Garantano, isn't he? Guys, have a great day.
Stay with us. The drive continues. The shocking conclusion coming up.
The drive.
The phone is BridgeBBQ.com.
Now back to the sports show of record in East Tennessee. This is The Drive.
All right, guys, wrap it up real quick. Let's get Brad in here. Brad, we got about a minute, man. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, I'll be real quick. I'm just wanting to know, why have we not heard of a press release about Pruitt and the rest of the coaches taking their pay cut? Because I got a pretty good idea. They've declined all pay cuts because they see the writing on the wall, and they want to get every bit of the money they can out of the program. And I would really like for some of the people in the press to have called him to the carpet on that today. That's all I got.
That's a good point, Brad. Trey, that kind of went away. Jeremy Pruitt said the final chapter is yet to be written. Are we going to get a follow-up on that?
I've been looking every day on the website to see if they've updated it with contract amendments, and they have not.
They ain't taking that pay cut. That's a bald-faced lie.
I wouldn't.
Bear, closing thoughts?
No, not really.
You're done.
I'm all raged out now. Yeah, man, this whole deal with this, it just pisses me off. Now I'm being accused by a mutual friend of ours of being a sexist pig over this deal, I'm the furthest thing from it.
Well,
I just think they don't understand sports. And for you know, that whole thing, I'm going to get myself riled up again. And I'm going to end up
really triggered about the Sarah Fuller Vanderbilt story, aren't you?
Yeah, because she wasn't a member of that team. She didn't practice. She didn't go through anything with the rest of her team.
And she got to get the halftime speech, too. I mean, that's the most Vanderbilt thing ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's a complete and total joke. So, you know, she wants to go out there and slog it out there in the summer, the two-a-days and everything else on the team to go through all that stuff.
They needed a kicker, Bear.
They did not.
They needed a kicker.
They did not. No, they didn't, Russ.
Five more days. Four more days of Florida talk. This is going to be fun.
All right. You boys have a great night.
Guys, it's been a pleasure. Thank you. Thanks to Drew and Adam for their hard work. That's good to do it for us. Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the Books. Overtime coming up next from 6 until 8. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.